Let's just pray as we stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word to us. As we were singing there in our hymn, in the garden secretly, and on the cross on high, should teach us and inspire to suffer and to die. Lord God, teach us and inspire us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you. I don't know what you're like, even first thing in the morning, whether you're hard to live with, or you're even hard to look at, for me. I don't know what you're like at your very worst. Can't imagine you've been too bad. But there's something about seeing somebody at their worst, isn't there? Where you really know them. Or seeing someone at their most stressed or at their most tired. And if you can like them then, if you can be blessed by them then, they must be a good person, must they? And I don't think I'm the best when I'm tired. I don't think Zara would say I'm the best when I'm a bit stressed and all the rest of it. I think sometimes we can lash out probably at the ones we love. But, you know, when we read through the Gospel of Mark, and, you know, Jesus has told us that he's gonna be betrayed. He's told us that he's going to be killed. There's going to be a false trial. He's warned us of all of this. He's even warned us that he's going to rise again. But I would almost say that there's nothing that could prepare us for this little bit in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, Jesus has been pretty confident, really, in what he's been saying up to now. And we see him in this moment at his most stressed, at his most deeply troubled. That's how we experience him. And you know, I believe that if you're a person that wants to really know Jesus, if you want to be somebody who really has got to know this character and this figure of this man who you want to seek to follow with your whole lives, I don't think there's a better moment in the whole of Scripture to look on and meditate on and just spend a bit of time on than Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, it says, went to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." Let's just have a wee look at Jesus at his most stressed, Jesus at his most under pressure. And let's see what we can learn as his followers. What do we learn here? The first thing we see is that Jesus, in his moment of darkness, actually didn't want to be on his own. You know, Jesus was going to have to go to the cross. Jesus was going to have to do something we will never have to do. And that's to stand before God's wrath on his own. Can you imagine what that's like? To stand before the judgment seat of God, which is what Jesus did for you and for me, taking on our sins. And he did that on his own. You know, one day we'll be judged, of course. But if we know Jesus, we'll not be on our own. He will be there beside us. And because of what he has done for us on the cross, we'll not be alone. We'll go up to the Father with his Son next to us. Not on our own. But Jesus knew, and that was what he was so afraid of. That's what he was so scared of. At this moment, that he was going to have to face the wrath of God on his own. And so in Gethsemane, he doesn't want to be on his own. So he takes all the disciples with him and he says, "Well, most of you sit here." And then Peter and James and John go a wee bit further with him. And then he says, "Would you sit here while I pray?" And then he goes and prays. He doesn't want to be on his own. He wants his friends in his darkest hour to actually pray for him. Isn't that incredible? That Jesus, the one who made all of us, the one who made all of this, in his darkest moment, he asked others to pray for him. You know, that's why so many times we encourage people, "Would you come to receive prayer? If you want prayer, we'd be glad to give you prayer this morning." That's why we say to people, "Come to the Wednesday prayer meeting," because, you know, in our darkest times, we actually need somebody to hold us. to hold us up, to pray for us, to be with us. And of course, Peter and James and John were three characters that we discussed in recent weeks that said that they would never abandon Jesus. Remember Peter just a few minutes ago at the Lord's Supper, as Dennis spoke to us last week. Peter said, you know, I'll never disown you. James and John, remember they wanted to sit at the right and left hand of Jesus when he came in glory. And they said, well, we can drink the cup that you're baptized with. And these are guys that made a big promise. And you know, Jesus doesn't want to be on his own at these times. Can I encourage you? When you're in dark moments, don't be on your own. Let us pray for you. Let others pray for you. Use our prayer chain. Use the prayer ministry team. Use the people in the church here that you know that you can trust. Use them. Because even Jesus, in his darkest moment, he wanted someone with him. He was going to have to face God on his own, but he didn't want to be on his own in the Garden of Gethsemane. We're going to keep on moving through this passage, so please do have it open in Mark 14. Here's what he says. He took Peter and James and John along with him and began to be deeply distressed and troubled. And listen to Jesus' heart here. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. And going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. I want you to just think about that for a second. Jesus went a little farther. The Bible says that he fell to the ground. He fell to the ground. You know, there are many ways and many postures when we're praying. And you know, sometimes we emphasize on your knees, with your hands clasped and your wee eyes closed. And that's, I guess, how we often teach children to do it. And I think it's fine if you've got the knees for it. I don't. Maybe we'll all practice after this. I sometimes feel as if I'm not going to be able to get up after I go down on my knees. You know, I even see in the Bible, it talks about at times raising up holy hands in prayer. I don't know if ever you've been worshipping God, you've just felt the urge to just raise a hand. And it's very biblical to do that. There's also a thing in the Bible where it talks about actually being face down before the Lord because he's so glorious. To actually look at him isn't right, to go face down before the Lord. There's lots of different postures mentioned in the Bible. And you know, I would believe very strongly that Jesus would have done all those things. I believe there's times where he would have lifted up his hand. I believe there's probably times where he got down and bended knee before God. I'm sure there were times when he was face down before his Father. But see, in this moment, the Bible says that he actually fell to the ground. Can you just imagine what that was like? I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where you've been so broken, you've suffered such a loss, or you possess such a fear that you fell to the ground. That's okay. Because Jesus did the same. What I want to just think about for a second, and I want to just think about the content of the prayer that he then prays. Remember, as a man lying on the ground, collapsed on the ground, what is the content of his prayer? You know, the disciples once went to Jesus and they said, teach us, Lord, how do we pray? And of course, he said, as we will do later, our Father who art in heaven. He taught them how to say a prayer, a daily prayer. A prayer that was balanced. A prayer that was theologically on the money, theologically on the mark. A prayer that would take in all the things that a believer needs to pray about day after day. But you know, there's times when we need another prayer. There's times when we need a broken prayer. There's times when actually to utter the words, our Father who art in heaven, just isn't where we're at. And actually I believe that's what Jesus is experiencing here now. Listen to this prayer. And he prayed this a number of times. He says, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Abba, Father. Folks, this is a man lying on the ground. And he's crying out, Daddy, Father, Daddy. There's something of real intimacy here in what Jesus is praying. Folks, can I invite you that wherever you are with the Lord Jesus, wherever you are with God the Father, wherever you are in your Christian walk, that God wants to be even more intimate with you. He wants to be even more daddy to you. And at times when we're broken, sometimes it's all we can shout, Daddy, Father. And because we're on the ground, we actually need him to scoop us up, don't we? And he'll do that. He will do that for us. You know, as you approach communion rail today, you know, maybe you feel a lot of pain. Maybe you're suffering. Maybe you're struggling. Let me tell you that the God you are engaging with, as you bring to mind the things that Jesus has done for you, wants to be intimate with you, wants to be a fellowship with your sufferings. So the first thing we see in this prayer is intimacy, Daddy. The second thing it says is, everything is possible for you. You know, at times when we're at our darkest moment, it can be very, very, very hard to have faith. And here's the question. Where does Jesus' faith come from? How does he have this incredible faith in the darkest moment? Well, here's how he has faith. Because he's read this book. He's read the stories of what God has done. He's read about the children of Israel. He's experienced those stories through reading them and hearing them spoken about. But also, Jesus has been filled with God's Spirit. He's seen God move. He's seen God turn water into wine. He's seen God raise the dead. He's seen God feed the 5,000. He's actually experienced God. He's actually experienced the dove coming down. And he's had these experiences. And that is why he's so full of faith. You know, folks, when we're in our darkest moments, we need to be able to draw from not only the Bible and the words that it speaks, but also what God has done in us. We need to be able to draw from that. Intimacy, Daddy, faith, everything is possible for you. Thirdly, take this cup from me. Take this cup from me. Folks, don't underestimate what's been said there. Jesus is not saying, take this cup from me. He's saying, God, take this cup from me. I don't want to do this, Lord. This is painful. This is costly. I don't want to do this. You know, folks, you see how honest Jesus is with God, the Father. So many times we're not that honest with God. Who's the man after God's own heart? David. Man after God's own heart. Read the Psalms. Read how embarrassingly honest David is with God. He says to him, God, why are you not answering me? He says, God, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do the wicked prosper? Why have you taken this from me? Why has this happened? Why is the world like this? Incredible honesty, folks. I remember hearing about a couple who were struggling very deeply in their marriage and with their family life. And it was a constant struggle for them, and there was a constant lack of joy for them. And people were praying with them and trying to help them, and eventually they found out that this couple had actually lost their first child. And at that time they were belonging to a house church down in the Republic of Ireland. And as they were mourning the loss of their first child, some of the members from their church came up to them and said, "Stop mourning." They said, "Stop mourning. Do you know that it says in the Bible that do not mourn as those without hope? Stop mourning. You're going to meet your child in heaven. Get over it. Stop being selfish. Your child's in glory." Folks, we need to be real before the Lord. That couple were in desperate pain because they'd been told to actually suppress real feelings. Sometimes, we have real feelings and we don't bring them to God. And I actually believe that if we do that, we will transmit our pain. We will actually put it on someone else. What we need to do is we need to bring honesty before God, and He will actually transform our pain. Maybe you're really angry at something that's happened to you. Maybe you're really suffering or hurt about what a person has done to you, or about a situation that's happened, or something that you feel God let you down in, or something like that. Can I just say to you, take it to the Lord. Take it to Him in prayer. Be like Jesus. Say to God, "Lord, take this cup from me." Bring honesty to Him. We pray these prayers sometimes, and folks, they're not real. We need to be honest with our Father. He's our daddy. Just tell Him. Just tell Him. And I believe if we really open ourselves up and we're honest to God, that He will transform our pain. And finally, it says, "But yet, not what I will, but what you will." Not what I will, but what you will. Folks, in this prayer we've had intimacy, we've had faith, we've had honesty, and now we have submission to God's will, to His plan. Folks, it's only when we're intimate, it's only when we're actually faithful, it's only when we're honest that God can just transform that and allow us to follow what He has for us, to move into the good things that He has for us. Jesus prayed this prayer at least 3 times in this passage, and He walked away with a renewed mind. I really, really wish I had a bit more time to talk, but I just want to talk about one final thing. I've talked about how Jesus wanted to be with others. I've talked about how Jesus collapsed. I've talked about how Jesus prayed. And finally, I want to talk about how Jesus won. How Jesus won. The Garden of Gethsemane is a very important place, because Gethsemane is a place where there's an olive orchard. And of course, people would have went around and picked olives, and then they would have carried them in little nets. And there's a great big table, apparently, in the midst of the olive orchard where people could pour out their olives. And there's actually a wee funnel on that table, I believe, that actually collects the oil that's sweated from the olives. And that's a very significant place when you think about Jesus sweating drops of blood. It's not a stretch of the imagination to imagine that the devil was there with Jesus. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the Bible says the devil left Jesus till an opportune time. What more opportune time than this, when Jesus is being tempted in such a profound way? I believe He had to face the devil. It's one of the things I like most about that film, The Passion of the Christ, the scene where Jesus is in Gethsemane, and he's actually, the devil is there with him, trying to tempt him and test him. And at the end of that scene, in the Passion of the Christ, Jesus walks away, but he steps on the serpent's head as he walks away. I believe Jesus won here. Folks, I think there's something important here about the nature of prayer. Because what we actually need to do, folks, is be willing to spend that hour in prayer. I believe if there hadn't been a Gethsemane, there wouldn't have been a Golgotha. Without Gethsemane, there's no Calvary, because this is the moment where Jesus actually was transformed in his thinking and he was ready to face the cross. Totally contrary to the disciples who didn't take the opportunity of Gethsemane, actually fell asleep. And of course, they scattered and were unable to face Golgotha and all that came with it. Jesus actually won something here in Gethsemane. And because he shed the drops of blood in the place of prayer, he was able to shed them on the cross. Folks, we often make great promises to God, like James, like John, like Peter. But unless we're willing to go to the place of prayer, unless we're willing to sweat the drops of blood in that place, we're not going to be able for the place of suffering. I think I'm going to have to wind this up, but Jesus actually says at one stage, enough. Right at the end, he says, enough. And I've always bypassed that as I've read through the passage. He says, enough. You know, folks, that's almost exactly the same term as it is finished. It essentially means the account is closed. What I believe Jesus is saying here is he's saying the battle has been won. Well, what has been achieved here in the place of prayer, the work has been done. And now I can go to Calvary. The account is closed. It's finished. It's won. Because I've sweat drops of blood in prayer, I can now sweat drops of blood on the cross. It's a lovely quote from a prayer theologian called S.D. Gordon. And he says this. He says, prayer strikes the winning blow. Prayer strikes the winning blow. Service is simply picking up the pieces. Prayer strikes the winning blow. Service is simply picking up the pieces. Jesus says, enough. I've won in this garden. I've chosen to go after God's will. The account is closed. There's a victory. The devil is already beaten because prayer has struck the winning blow. Folks, finish now, but I just want to say, so many times we talk about following in the footsteps of Jesus. So many times we talk about discipleship. So many times we talk about taking up our cross, but we also have to walk through Gethsemane. You know, I believe that every day we come to a Gethsemane, every day we come to a place where we have to decide, will it be my will or will it be his will? Folks, that cannot be won unless we go to the place of prayer. Can't be done. And there's a difference, folks, between whether we choose his will or our will. There's two significant moments in the Bible. I'll call it almost two significant fountains in the Bible. The first is in Genesis 3, where Adam and Eve say, my will be done. My will be done. And what happens? There is a fountain of sin that opens up, that actually pours over the whole world, that actually cuts us off from God and the good things he has for us. And then there's the fountain that it speaks of in the book of Zechariah chapter 13, where it says that because the anointed one is pierced, that God will open up a fountain of healing and mercy in the wilderness. Folks, let's go to Gethsemane. Let's say, not my will, but yours be done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would teach us in our most hopeless moments, in our darkest moments. How to act as Jesus acted. How to draw people alongside us, the humility to do that. How to collapse before your throne and pray prayers of intimacy, of faith, of honesty, and of total submission. Teach us, Lord, how to sweat drops of blood in the place of prayer so that we are ready to live lives that say yes to God's will. Teach us in Jesus' name. Amen.